Good morning, everyone. Okay, so I have some special guests here, and because I'm up here, I get to introduce them. I have Jim and April Jurgensen and Maria Jurgensen, their daughter. Jim and April are the founders of the BOADS Project, and so they are here this morning. They are the founders of the organization that I will be working with. And then I also have my parents here, Diane and Brian. So just so you know who's up front with me, it's really fun to have them here. So I'm going to start talking about Isaiah 61. And apparently this was the verse last year or the year before. So I hope you guys are listening because clearly God is trying to communicate something to someone. So Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, to release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the displays of his splendor." So that's a lot to take in right off the bat. But when I read this verse, I hear good news for the poor, binding for the broken, freedom for the captives, release for the prisoners, comfort for the mourning, beauty for ashes, praise instead of despair. So I hear these words and I'm like, yes, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be beautiful. It'll be great. It'll be easy. It will be good. But when I say that and I really look at it, I'm focusing on the future. And I'm focusing on the hope that comes with the future. And that's okay. And it's good to look ahead. But sometimes the situations we're in them for a reason. And sometimes when we focus solely on the future, we miss what's in the present and the lesson that's in the present. So focusing on the future is easy to do, whether like reading scripture, you know how we always kind of like skip the bad parts where we have to wander in the desert for 40 years, where Jesus is murdered. We like know that. So we're like, okay, let's get to where he like rose from the dead. We like when Sarah conceives a baby. We don't like that whole like waiting forever and giving birth at a really old age, because that's rough. But we like these parts of the stories because they're the good parts. We don't like sitting in the uncomfortable because it's icky. It's icky when Jesus is late to Lazarus to raise him from the dead, and he gets there and Jesus weeps. It's hard to watch Sarah give her servant to Abraham to have a child, and then she gets mad at the servant. And we don't like that because it's angry and there's frustrations. We don't like wandering in the desert for 40 years. We skip. We go ahead. We know where we're going. We know that we get there. But when we skip these parts of the story, we miss that there's pain and there's suffering. And that sometimes these pains and these sufferings that we go through allow us to push into the heart of Jesus. Without the poor news, there can't be good news. Without the broken, there can't be healing. Without the captives, there can't be freedom. Without the mourning, there can't be comfort. Without the ashes, there can't be beauty. Without the despair, there can't be praise. I don't like that so much. That's hard. That's really uncomfortable. So I'm going to share with you my uncomfortableness. And church, I think that this is a place that we can come and we can be open with one another. And I think it's time to start talking about mental illness. So I suffer from depression and anxiety, and that's hard. And it's hard to stand up here and say that to a room full of people. But I know that there are others in here who struggle with that too. And I just want to bring light to that and say that if you struggle with a mental illness, that's okay. You're no less of a Christian. You're no less of a person. Just as if you have a physical disability, you're no less of a person with that either. So I'm going to tell you what God's been showing me through my depression. And if, you know, you wonder about, like, depression, look in the Bible. David really struggles from it. Like, read the Psalms. If you have depression, you will understand the Psalms completely. That's the only book. So a few weeks ago, my depression and anxiety landed me in a mental health unit. And that's hard. And that is an uncomfortable place to be. But I say that, and I say that that was probably one of the most holy places I will ever be. And I travel to India often, and I love that place. And I'm going to start traveling to Russia and Kenya, too, and working with children. And working with children is a holy place. But in a mental health unit, you sit among the broken. You sit with people who share in your struggles. You sit with people who have different struggles than you do. And you look at all of them, and it's easy to look at somebody else and say, but God loves you. But God loves me, too. And that's harder to say. It's easy to look at somebody else and kind of ask, you know, why, God? Why are they struggling with that? But then to still remind yourself, but God loves them. That's hard to do for yourself. But God tells us to love others and ourselves. And God tells us to be in community with one another. And on a mental health unit, you are in community with one another, whether you like it or not. You are sharing in your struggles. You are sitting in group therapy, and that is hard, but it's good. The situation sucks, but it's good. And the outcome, you may not be able to see it at the moment, but the situation, there's still hope. You don't have to look forward to the future, because in that moment, you're in the presence of the broken, and you know that Jesus brings healing. So, don't get me wrong, I'm not romanticizing mental health units, and I'm not saying you should go out and try to, like, get some mourning and some pain. Like, it's easy enough to find, friends. Like, don't go looking for it. But what I'm saying is, without the darkness, there can't be light. Without the mourning, there can't be comfort. So when you're in those situations, when you're hurting, it's okay. That's good. You get to press into the heart of Jesus. You get to understand that when Jesus died on that cross, he was there too. He knew that he was going to come back to life, he was going to beat death and be there 3 days later, but he still needed to be on that cross. He still needed to be in that situation. So do you remember, like, the heartbreak that crushed your soul, that just left you empty? Did you not see people who were with you in that time and encouraging you? Or what about the death that caused so much suffering and so much mourning? Were you not surrounded by people who were in the same situation as you? Friends, these situations are hard, but this is why we live in community. This is why we go to other places and sit with the broken. This is why we travel down the street to our friend who just had a really crappy day. This is what we do as Christians. This is what Jesus calls us to do, because Jesus knows that we need it. Jesus knows that we need relationship with one another. And as sometimes people are hard to get along with, and sometimes you just really want to be alone. And that's okay. But at the end of the day, Jesus calls us to be together. Jesus calls us to come as we are, to lay our brokenness out, not to judge, but for a place of freedom. Because Jesus knows that we tie these chains around ourselves of, well, I don't want to share this part of my life because I'm supposed to look a certain way. Friends, those are lies from Satan himself. And it's hard. And I want to stress that if you get anything out of this message, it's that it's hard, but it's good. If I didn't believe these things, I wouldn't be able to do the work that I do. I wouldn't be able to go and to sit with the orphan. Because the orphan stories are hard. It's really hard. But Jesus loves me, and he loves them. And it is good, friends. Because it's good to go sit with those children and to have that childlike faith. And it's good to go sit in a nursing home and to just listen. To listen to others, to hear the truth in a different way. It's good to go to the prisons. And it's hard, but it's good. Because we each have a story to share. And we each have something that we need to share and be open with. And it may be a sucky situation, but that's why we live in community. So as we move away from just focusing on the outcome, as we move away from knowing that, yeah, there's hope, so I'm just going to ignore the situation, we move into the rejoicing. into the beauty, into the comfort in those situations. We move into the days where Sarah does conceive a baby, and she's finally waited, and it's how God intended. We move into the days where we get to the promised land, and it is good. We move to the days where Jesus rises, and he's alive, and he beat death, and we have victory. And in that, we move towards the good news. We move towards the healing, towards the freedom, the light, the comfort, the beauty, the praise. So friends, whatever your situation is, you're not alone. That the church is a place you can come and lay down everything and be free and receive healing. And friends, it's okay to be in those situations. They're hard. They are hard, but they are good. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the hard situations. And as weird as that is to say, we are so thankful that you allow us to have comfort and to have healing and to have peace. Father, you are good and you bring all these things. And I pray that no matter what our situation is, we press into you. Father, let the church be a place of freedom. Let your people be a comforting presence. Father, allow the church to let us to be what you have intended. We thank you for all of this. Amen.